So first off, my apologies to those who are leaving today. This talk will be in at least two parts, maybe three parts, so some of what I bring up at the beginning won't really be resolved by the end of today's talk. So my apologies for that. So over the last few years, I've occasionally found myself musing over this koan. One day, Ching Chieng asked a monk, "What is that outside the gate?" The monk said, "The sound of a snake eating a frog." Ching Chieng said, "I knew that sentient beings suffer. Here is another suffering sentient being." This koan is not part of our formal koan curriculum, but it is found in the commentary on Ching Chieng's Sound of Raindrops in the Blue Cliff Records. It's case number 46. I've been drawn to this koan, I think, because I find some relief in it, especially when I'm worrying or anguishing over the current mess or fiasco the group of roughnecks we have in the White House are involved in and are involving us in. I cringe when I hear the current president use the words compassion or good-hearted, charitable or loving when appointing and then describing an Ashcroft, a Rice, Gonzalez or a Bolton, and many others of the same ilk. As I find myself becoming increasingly frustrated, or sad, or angry, I remember this dialogue. "What is that sound outside the monastery gate?" The monk said, "The sound of a snake eating a frog." Chang Cheng said, "I knew that sentient beings suffer. Here is another suffering sentient being." If we interpret this dialogue, it is soothing and encourages the warm glow of emotional empathy. Here is the dustless world, the monastery, and yet those dedicated to a spiritual practice are not blocking out the world of samsara, our world. The teacher asked, "What is that sound outside the monastery?" And the monk replies, "It's the sound of a snake eating a frog." I've heard some say the monk is sympathetic. He knows he cannot escape the world and he is doing a metta or a karuna practice. Or maybe he's doing Tung Lin practice, taking in the bad energy and transforming it and sending out good energy. They say this monk is not shut down, but touched. Touched by and working with the pains and sorrows of the world, doing the work of Kuan Yin or Kan On. Keeping within this interpretation, as mistaken as it is, the teacher continues the echo of the monk. "Oh, I knew sentient beings suffered. Here before me is a suffering being. Oh, you poor dearie," is saying, "this staying open and vulnerable is difficult. Let me give you a hug or a pat." This is the "I feel your pain" interpretation. But fortunately, koan are not about interpretation, but about presentation or exclamation of the essential matter and its infinite possibilities in the world of sound and form. Ching Ching, it seems, often asks this question: what is that sound outside the gate? He asked it of visitors and his monks alike. And that is how we meet him in case 46 of the Blue Cliff Record. And another monk responded to that question: it's the sound of rain dripping. Ching Ching said, ordinary people are upside down, losing themselves in the pursuit of things. The monk said, what about yourself, old teacher? Ching Ching said, I am on the brink of falling into delusion about myself. The monk said, what do you mean on the brink of falling into delusion about yourself? Ching Ching said, to attain the world of emptiness may not be so difficult, but to express the bare substance is hard. At another time, Ching Ching asked this same question: what is the sound outside the gate? And incidentally, Ba Sui, many centuries later, and in another country, distilled this question down to his own unique expression, constantly asking the monks and lay people and visitors, who hears? Who hears? And this time a monk said, the sound of a quail. Ching Ching said, if you wish to avoid uninterrupted hell, don't slander the wheel of the true Dharma of the Tathagata. So these two dialogues, I think, are very helpful in seeing into the sound of a snake eating a frog and the reply, I knew sentient beings suffer. Here is another suffering sentient being. Constantly with this question, he is asking, where are you in this world of inside and outside? Where are you in this world of coming and going? Where are you in the world of dying and being born? This monk is in suffering because he is empathizing with the suffering in the world. His pain comes from his marriage to the view of subject and object, of inside and outside. His pain is of the primary sin, separation. He is wedded to a separate, substantial thing called and thus felt as a self, which immediately posits an other. This is his suffering. This is his primary delusion. And this too is our suffering and our primary delusion. Although on a first read, it may seem this monk is truly involved in the world's suffering, in the killing, and in the dying. He in fact has it blocked out there. He has his filters up, and he is not fully engaged in the world's true dying, nor is he fully engaged in his own dying. Suffering means to allow. Not to allow it to happen, but when it is happening, to allow the suffering to touch you all the way down to the bottom. For it is in the frog's dying and our utter absorption in that fact that we find freedom. Actually, that the frog finds freedom, and that the world too finds freedom. It is in the snake's killing and our utter absorption in that condition that we find liberation. Liberation not from conditions, but liberation within conditions. We don't dive below the waves to experience stillness. We dive into them. It is not from blocking the wind, but by being the wind itself. This is not a practice that puts us outside the world's suffering and pain, but it is a practice that puts us more immediately into its very center. The great way, the vast and utterly spacious way, is not difficult, if only you do not choose. So right now, what is that sound outside? And now, that sound. More intimate yet, what is that sound? Even more immediate, that sound. Wallace Stevens responded to that question like this. Actually, in some ways, this poem makes a little less sense on a day like today when it's sunny and windy. But I was writing this part of the talk at home when there was snow happening on the hills just a couple thousand feet above us. He wrote, "One must have a mind of winter to regard the frost in the boughs of the pine trees crusted with snow, and have been cold a long time to behold the junipers shagged with ice, the spruces rough in the distant glitter of the January sun, and not to think of any misery in the sound of the wind, in the sound of a few leaves, which is the sound of the land full of the same wind that is blowing in the same bare place for the listener who listens in the snow and nothing himself beholds, nothing that is not there, and the nothing that is. It is in this way that you find your own light. It is in this way you find freedom. It is not by being funneled and overly rigorous with your zazen, but it is by relaxing and letting each thing in and through. It is that way that you find your own light and your own freedom. It is in this way the world itself, its shapes and forms, its colors and sounds, become your own inspiration. Here you are, walking alone on the vast earth, and your body is the constituency of all other bodies. So what is that sound outside the door? 40,000 dead in Iraq. What is that sound outside the door? 100,000 in a tsunami. Millions displaced by a hurricane. 70,000 dead and even more homeless in a coming Himalayan winter by earthquake. What is that sound outside? The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge being raped. Those are good beginning responses, only if they propel you onto a spiritual path of engagement and participation. Those are good beginning responses only if they propel you onto a spiritual path of knowing yourself and the other in the most intimate terms. Only if it leads to the radical revisioning of relationship. Otherwise, those responses are ones only of despair, of anger and rage, and of alienation and dismemberment. And then those can only ultimately breed more of the same. Qingqing said in his response to the monk, "To attain the world of emptiness may not be so difficult, but to express the bare substance is hard." Hakuin commented on this line some centuries later, saying, "Getting out of the mire of views may be easy, but comprehensive expression or activity is hard." His contemporary, Tenke, commenting on this same line, said, "It is not hard to realize an untrammeled state of personal freedom, but saying it without falling into verbal understanding of objects or intellectual understanding of mind, freeing it from the mold, is something that is hard to do." So how do we break free of our associative thinkings and feelings? How do we see through the norms set a long time ago for each one of us when we were young, by our parents and families, by our neighborhood and city, and by our culture and the world's culture? It is not, of course, that all those things passed to us were wrong. It is just that they often leave out an ever-deepening underpinning of what can be and is real. We, of course, live in a world of cause and effect, yet we forget that cause and effect is only part of what is right here before our eyes. At the very same moment, this very place is the Lotus Land. At the very same moment, this very body, the Buddha. What is the sound outside the gate? the sound of a snake eating a frog. But Hakuin, Tenke, and Ching Cheng are saying to even know that this very place, even knowing that this very body is not yet enough. It is not hard to realize an untrammeled state of personal freedom, but saying it, expressing it, presenting it without falling into associative words and actions is a hard thing to do. I have said before, Zen is the radical revisioning of relationship to the world we live in, to others, and to ourselves. It demands the intimacy of no subject and no object. It demands the intimacy of no me and them, of no self and other. It is utterly transparent in the truest sense of the word, not in the sense of the word used recently in pop culture or in large corporations or constantly by the government. Transparency is a true seeing through to what is always present. Transparency is the dew on the top of each branch of coral, which reflects the light of the moon. And taking Patty Ann Rogers entirely out of context, she says it this way. The Black Sea surface glitters with bobbing, stuttering moons as flat as light. Likewise, the black body of any single fish is covered with thousands of glassy moons, and each drop of spray on a nude body, jeweling the neck, beading the lashes, tresses, and ear tips, sparkling down the ivory legs, becomes moon and mirror simultaneously. Transparent at its root means to show oneself and to show through at the very same moment. It does not mean first one side, show myself, and then show through. To show oneself is to show right through. Showing right through is one's very own self. So right now, what is that sound outside? Okay, thank you. And I'll continue with this tomorrow.